The Titans of Trial podcast is sponsored by the Florida Justice Association Research and Education Foundation, promoting the study and understanding of Florida's civil justice system and how its preservation benefits consumers, victims, and all Floridians. Learn more at floridajusticeassociation.org.
From the Florida Justice Association, these are the Titans of Trial.
The defending nursing home cases hit me squarely in the face that they weren't easy to defend, and they were missing the fact that if someone who was helpless and was elderly and was in someone else's care were neglected or abused, juries got madder than hell.
Tom Edwards shares the epiphany that led him to change his law practice and the times he didn't think he would make it as a trial lawyer.
When you walk away from a case and you've lost it, it's tough. And any lawyer that doesn't acknowledge that at some point they've had a case or two that they were having a tough time in, that they are saying, why the hell am I doing this? What isn't there something else I could go do? Or after a loss, looking at it and saying, gosh, is there something else I should do? They're just not being candid with you. The question is, can you get over it and start looking forward to the next one where you're going to go help a client?
And his thoughts on the changing practice of law.
We're seeing consolidation of law firms. Our world is always changing, and businesses are always going to change. And the dynamics of how you run your business, you have to be willing to change with the times, or you're going to be lost and you're going to lose your business.
Welcome to Titans of Trial, featuring the personal stories of the men and women who've made a difference to the practice of trial law in Florida. I'm Paul Jess, Executive Director of the Florida Justice Association. Florida's large percentage of folks over the age of 65 has highlighted a too common problem: elder abuse in nursing homes and other facilities. Originally a defense lawyer, Tom Edwards of Jacksonville changed sides to help this needy and helpless population. Along the way, he's built a niche personal injury practice with many victories. He's also a champion of legal ethics, helping write the code of ethics for judges' conduct. Among his many honors is the B.J. Masterson Award from the Florida Justice Association for professionalism and high ethical standards. He's also a past president of the FJA and winner of many other FJA awards. Tom Edwards sat down with Florida Justice Association radio host Harvey Bennett in December 2017 to share what it's like to go against big corporations, the sacrifices he's had to make along the way, and how his big game hunting skills have helped him in the courtroom.
Tom, you have a reputation as a trial lawyer's trial lawyer. And you actually started out, though, on the defensive team of nursing homes. You had an epiphany. You saw a need in the marketplace. Tell me that story.
Well, I started on the defense side, and it wasn't just doing nursing home. It was a little bit of everything. We did medical malpractice defense, product liability defense, insurance litigation, auto. My first trial ever was an auto case that I got to try as lead. I will say that as a plaintiff's lawyer, having started on the defense side, gave me a fantastic foundation and training that was very important to learning to try cases the right way. And it taught me a lot about how defense lawyers think, how insurance adjusters think, what they need to resolve cases reasonably. And it was a fantastic training ground.
And some of your peers say a very innovative process that you went through to develop a need, to recognize the need in the marketplace for what you do.
The defending nursing home cases hit me squarely in the face that they weren't easy to defend. Insurance adjusters, back when I first started in that field, had the attitude, oh, these folks are old. There's not much in damages that anyone's ever going to award. And they were missing the fact that if someone who was helpless and was elderly and was in someone else's care were neglected or abused, juries got maddened in hell. And so when I decided to change sides and start doing that work, having tried to defend some of those cases, really led me to saying, you know, this is a needy population. It's a population that's helpless. And Florida has lots of these folks who aren't being well cared for. And it turned out to be a great way to segue into a new practice.
And one of your most significant cases, at least recently, a $178 million award in a negligence and fraud suit against HCA Memorial Hospital here in town, involving a deputy sheriff who went through some gastric bypass surgery that had some complications, and that arose into a case that the jury discovered in the end was negligence and actual fraud. $232 million in judgments altogether. Wow.
It was an extraordinary case that was bitterly and hard fought by one of the largest corporations in the country. They at one point told me that they were going to run my four-person law firm off the field and break us. We had through numerous different referral sources ended up with six or eight cases involving similar issues at the same time. And in that time frame, they had a change in the people handling their risk management. And they had a new guy come in that decided he was going to prove how tough he was, and made it a point to tell me he was going to teach me and my clients a lesson. And they brought in three law firms who litigated the case to the ends of the earth for multiple years. And ultimately got a judgment and verdict that was unprecedented in the state.
Wow.
The thing that was so extraordinary about that case was not only the result, but when we went to trial, my client Clay Chandler was balled up in a fetal position, contracted, unable to move on his own, unable to feed himself, unable to take a sip of water, 100% total care patient, and with no hope of anything other than laying in a fetal position for the rest of his life. The result that we got and the resolution of that case, which is confidential, resulted in him now, through great care from his family and from others, being able to walk a mile in some assistive devices.
Wow.
For they do a special mile part of the river run here. The river runs a 10K or 15K run, and at the start of it they do a Brooks specialty run for people who have severe impairments, and he has to go in an upright assist, but he's made it a mile and brought us the medal that he got when he finished it.
Wow.
And it's through extraordinary work on his part, but it has changed the quality of his life and extended his life in ways that would never have been available to him had we gotten a different result.
That's extraordinary. Is that by far the most significant in your career to this date?
It was an extraordinary and the most significant from the standpoint of results. The thing about what we do is every case is significant to the people you're representing. And I've had many other cases that were much smaller results, but they are extraordinarily important to that client at that time. And while they may not be hundreds of millions of dollars as judged by a jury in harm, they are very important to the people who are in need and who are hurt and who have lost something important to them or their family.
Sure, sure. Take us back. You graduated law school from Stetson University. What made you want to be a lawyer?
I started out pre-med. My father was an eye surgeon, and I thought I would go through medical school and join him in his medical practice. And when I got to my second year in college, I concluded that I was not smart enough to do sports, student government, fraternity, and make it to med school too. And I started thinking about what, if I didn't go to med school, what I wanted to do. And I looked at both business school and becoming a lawyer, and worked for someone who has become one of my closest friends and mentors while I was in college, Howard Coker. Got to work as a runner during the summer, and sat through a couple of trials with him that summer and was hooked, and headed to law school knowing I wanted to be a trial lawyer and I wanted to do civil cases that involved people who'd been hurt and other. We do other types of cases too. We do some business litigation too, but the personal injury stuff is the bulk of it.
Did he become a mentor for you?
He did. And while we've actually since I started practicing law, we've never worked in the same firm. But when I broke off from the big defense firms I was with and started my own firm, we co-counseled on a couple of cases. We've remained very, very close, travel together regularly, and have done lots and lots of bar and Florida Justice Association and other service together in bar leadership. He's a past president of the Florida Justice Association like I am. He's a past president of the Florida Bar, et cetera.
What were the most important influences in your life growing up?
Growing up, I had parents who instilled in me a number of principles, but two of the most important were that you have to work for anything that is important to you, and you don't get anywhere without hard work. And number two, you have an obligation to give back to the community and in whatever you do, and to make the community better, make in this case the justice system better. And my dad was a surgeon, but he served in the reserves throughout most of my life. He served in leadership for the FMA, for a number of other community organizations. And my mother went back after all the kids got to high school age and became an ordained minister. And both of them were people that believed in hard, you work hard to achieve things, and you always work hard to make the community better.
And that's guided you during your career, because law, to do it right, is hard, complicated work.
It is. I've got two kids who are one just graduated from law school, who's in law school, and I've met lots of their young friends and met lots of young lawyers over recent years. And I tell them, if you're looking for something that you can sit back and do 9 to 5, you've picked the wrong profession if you really want to be good. If you want to be a good lawyer, particularly in the trial work, you have to make sacrifices and you have to work very, very hard and long hours. And it wears on you at times, but it's part of the deal.
How did you go about honing those trial skills?
I think the two most important things I could tell anyone is find some good mentors and try some cases with some mentors. Going in and learning to try cases on your own is a recipe for disaster, and it hurts clients, and it is hard, hard work. Finding people to help mentor you through trials is crucial. And being willing to put in long, hard hours and doing the work is crucial. You can't get there as a trial lawyer without lots and lots of time and lots of work and knowing your case better than the other side.
Now, you've been practicing since 1984. At this point in your career, what's the most rewarding part about being a plaintiff's attorney?
Being able to see that you've truly helped people who are in need. Everybody that comes to you is someone who has been hurt or suffered a loss or has a business that's in trouble because of things that have happened to them. And the being able to achieve a favorable result that helps them out of their problem is wonderful. You can't always fix everything that's happened, but you can find ways to make it better. And that's your goal as a lawyer, is to find ways to improve your client's position and improve their lot.
What would you say is your key to success?
The key to success is hard work. Okay. You can't do what we do without putting in a lot of time and a lot of effort. It is, you're in a you're in an atmosphere of litigation, which means conflict. And when you are trying to get a good result for your clients through a system of conflict, it means being prepared, knowing the cases, knowing the clients, knowing what the other side needs and where they're headed. Any good lawyer, when they are working hard to know their case, has to not only know their strengths, it's more important to know your weaknesses and to know what the other side's going to try to exploit. And that means putting in long hours.
From a personal point of view, was there a point that you didn't think you were going to be able to make it as an
attorney? There's more than one point where that's happened. Trial lawyers are great about talking about the cases they've won, but any trial lawyer who has tried a bunch of cases has lost some cases. And you usually learn more from the cases you lose than the cases you win, because you walk away from a win thinking how brilliant you are and how great a lawyer you are. When you walk away from a case and you've lost it, it's tough. And any lawyer that doesn't acknowledge that at some point they've had a case or two that they were having a tough time in, that they are saying, why the hell am I doing this? What isn't there something else I could go do? Or after a loss, looking at it and saying, gosh, is there something else I should do? They're just not being candid with you. The question is, can you get over it and start looking forward to the next one where you're going to go help a client? It's like being a cornerback in a big football game, and when they get beat, they got to be able to go right back to the line of scrimmage and get right back in the end of the game and believe that they can beat the other side, they can beat that receiver, and you have to do the same thing as a trial lawyer.
How do you handle disappointment? Because that goes with the job of losing a case.
Usually when you have disappointment, at least for me, there's some sleepless nights. There are some days of frustration when you're grumpy and unhappy. And usually the way you get out of it is working to get other cases where they need to be and finding ways to get the best result. Even if you've had a case go bad, get the best result you can for the client in the case that hasn't gone the way you wanted.
What keeps you going at this point?
It's part of your type A personality, which virtually every trial lawyer is, and it's a desire to help people and a desire to win.
In your personal life, you are a big game hunter. Your office here has several trophies.
I am.
How does that relate to your practice of law?
There are a lot of similarities. You spend a lot of time and effort out scouting and hunting, and much like a trial where you're waiting for that verdict, a lot of it's about the process and hard work. And for me, the hunting isn't about just going out and shooting a whole bunch of different things. It's about finding that special animal. And that means time, patience, effort, and putting in the work that needs to be put in to get to that special event.
How has your involvement with the Florida Justice Association, and you've won many of their awards, the BJ Masterson Award for professionalism, high ethical standards, Gold Eagle, among your many, many accolades. How has your involvement with the Florida Justice Association impacted your career?
It has been tremendously favorable and has made for relationships that will be with me for the rest of my life. There were some extraordinary sacrifices that went with the service for that organization. And the work that they do in the legislature and around the state, the PAC work, it is a sacrifice that takes extraordinary amounts of time and money away from your practice. But the trade-off is when you move through the leadership of that position, you develop relationships with lawyers in literally every city in this state, and people see the sacrifices you make, and it has been something that you can never replace the time and the money and the effort you put into the work over there and take away from your practice and your clients. But it is the relationships you develop and the sacrifices you make pay in the long run. As much as I've given up for that organization, it's given me much more in return. the relationships that you develop and the leadership that you devote to it comes back in spades.
Another big investment of your time, I know, has been in ethics. You have been appointed, ultimately serving as chair of the North Florida Grievance Committee, which investigates and prosecutes attorneys accused of unethical conduct. You've also helped write the code of ethics that apply to judges' conduct, and you're a frequent lecturer on the subject as well. Why is this so important to you?
Because that's the foundation of our justice system. If the judges and the lawyers aren't following the rules and don't play within the lines, then the justice system doesn't work. And the justice system is there to resolve the worst conflicts of our society. That is there to deal with the circumstances when people can't resolve their differences. And in the 1700s, 1800s, people resolved it with guns and with baseball bats or axe handles or whatever it was. If we're going to have a system that fairly deals with the worst problems in our society, everything from kids being taken from parents to someone ending up in a fetal position because of malpractice to business shutting down another business through inappropriate conduct, if we're going to solve those things, we have to have basic rules that both judges and lawyers will follow. And if the lawyers and judges don't follow those rules, then the system breaks down and people don't have trust in it. The reason our system works and the reason we have had, for example, a peaceful transition of power with the Gore-Bush issue.
Right, the 2000
election.
Is because
people trusted that our justice system worked. And whether you agreed or disagreed with the results, or whether you agree or disagree with any particular result you see in a newspaper, you have to believe that the system is working. And if lawyers and judges don't follow the rules, then it can't work. And there will not be trust in the system.
Is there ever a time where the ends sometimes justify the means?
You know, when it comes to those types of issues, the answer is no, if it means you're going to break the rules, if you're going to break the foundation of our system. And so I would have to say no. You have to follow the rules of ethics. You have to follow the rules of conduct that are essential to the system, because once you start breaking those rules, then all the other rules go out the window too.
How do you balance your professional life with your family life?
My family would tell you not very well.
You're not alone.
Just in the last few years, I've probably done a little better with it than in the past. But the truth is, when you do what we do, you have times when your life is dictated by deadlines with the court and by judges saying you're going to be here at this time. And you end up missing kids' baseball games or horseback riding shows, and you end up missing time with your family. In talking about how hard you have to work in doing this, I can't tell you the number of nights in my career I've gone home after spending a 12-hour day at work, had dinner, worked out, and then sat down with a stack full of medical records that are 3 feet deep to prepare for the deposition the next day. And I'm up till 3 a.m. And my wife is like, okay, I guess we're not going to chat with each other tonight. And the kids know they need to not disturb me. And you have lots and lots and lots of nights like that. And there is a sacrifice that you make to do what we do.
What's your view on the future of the legal profession? Do you have any concerns?
I have concerns, but I have to say that to go back to what we just talked about, if you ensure that people, judges and lawyers are following the rules, then it should come out all right in the long run. There were quantum changes and quantum shifts in the medical profession and the way in which medical practices ran starting in the 70s, and I watched my dad and his practices and doctors in town who I knew socially through my parents go through tremendous change in the medical community as managed care came in and HMOs came in. And there were many, many changes. Some were good and some were bad. And the legal profession's no different. We're going through a lot of that now. We're seeing consolidation of of law firms. We've got enormous firms now that are in my field, in the PI field, that are mass marketing, and those are changes compared to where it was 20 years ago. And some will say those are terrible changes. There are ways in which it benefits the community. There are ways that I'd love to see it change for the better in other ways. But the reality is, if you read books like Who Moved My Cheese, our world is always changing, and businesses are always going to change. And the dynamics of how you run your business, you have to be willing to change with the times, or you're going to be lost, and you're going to lose your business.
Because there are those who feel that law has become too much of a business,
and
the profit motive versus the client motive, societal change motive,
and
altruistic.
And you know what? That's fair. The reality is, no matter what the profession is, whether it's a doctor or a lawyer, you have to run your business well enough to make a living, or you're not going to be able to serve the public. You're not going to be able to provide your professional services to the public unless you run a business in a profitable way. But the flip side is, if you run the business in a way that comports with and meets the foundations of ethical and professional conduct, then things in the end are going to turn out okay. And that really is part of why I say, I think things will turn out okay as long as we make people follow those rules.
What one piece of advice do you have for incoming lawyers?
Well, for incoming lawyers, I would say the most important things you can do is find a great mentor and be willing to work hard. And the third thing would be give back to the profession and the community. If you do those three things, then things are going to turn out well for you in the long run. Having a mentor that helps guide you when you make mistakes and helps teach you the right way to do things is crucial to any lawyer. Being willing to put the time and the effort in, you can't be a good lawyer without doing that. And giving back to the community is part of what you take an oath to do. Protecting the Constitution and the system means helping to improve it.
Tom, how would you like to be remembered?
I think I would like to be remembered as a lawyer who helped people and made the system better.
Tom Edwards, you are a titan of trial. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Paul Jess. We hope you enjoyed listening to this Titans of Trial episode. If you're not already a member, we'd like to invite you to join the Florida Justice Association. Please visit us on the web at floridajusticeassociation.org or drop us a line at radio@floridajusticeassociation.org.
Thank you for listening to this Titans of Trial podcast, sponsored by the Florida Justice Association Research and Education Foundation, promoting the study and understanding of Florida's civil justice system and how its preservation benefits consumers, victims, and all Floridians. Learn more at floridajusticeassociation.org.